Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
Welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Buer.
And I am GopherIllustrated.com publisher Ryan Burns. We welcome you guys back to this special edition of the podcast here tonight. We have a special guest joining us, Luke. So not going to be a ton of Gopher football talk per se about the players on the field, but a lot of off the field type of things that we're going to get into tonight with our special guest. But Luke, before we get into things with him, you want to give the folks a word from our lovely sponsor?
Yeah, so from the Goal Line Club, they will be sponsoring the 2019 season once again. If you want to participate in their upcoming tailgate against Illinois, use the promo code LOVIE5, that's L-O-V-I-E and the number 5. They'll save you $5 if you are not a member of the Goal Line Club. If you are a member of the Goal Line Club, or you know you don't want to save $5, check out their website and sign up for the upcoming tailgate. Both Ryan and I should be there. We can hang out, exchange high fives, maybe a hot dog or whatever. Should be fun. Again, LOVIE5 to save $5. All right, Ryan. So we have a guest. You guys wouldn't pronounce his last name for me, which was really frustrating. I feel like this is bit that's just totally won't end, but here we go. From The Athletic and Gopher Puck Live, Eric Vigo, is that correct, Eric?
Spot on. So much better than the recruits you introduce.
Yes.
Eric, get 5 letters and very, I'm very proud of you, Luke. It's a proud moment for me.
I know. I think I'm changing my best episode to episode, but you know, some people don't think so. So Eric comes to us mostly because he joined our live event and he and I got chatting, and that dude follows the athletic department closer than anybody that I know, and we thought it might be fun, especially with all the efforts that the University of Minnesota has made in the non-conference here, to talk about kind of the status of the athletic department and the efforts that they're taking to try and improve or boost attendance at non-conference games, which may even trickle into the conference games here in the Big Ten as well. But Eric, just to start, I'd like to get your feel for, you know, where is the state of college football kind of in general? We know that we hear, at least, that attendance issues are not unique to Minnesota in general.
Yeah, attendance has been an issue across college football, and it's been getting more attention paid to it as national outlets like Washington Post and Wall Street Journal dig in and do FOIA requests to get scanned ticket data back. And what you see at big schools from Clemson and Alabama to schools like Minnesota is they're having trouble getting people to show up at games. There's just so many choices for people about what to do with their money and time. College football is really suffering. TV ratings have never been better, but the attendance is an issue that's facing everybody right now. And the common phrase out there is winning isn't a strategy. Because when it's affecting schools like Clemson and Alabama,
right?
You know, winning's not the problem with those schools.
Yeah, that's really pretty interesting. And you know, oftentimes when we talk about Minnesota, we often hear about how, you know, well, the Gophers have to compete against the Vikings, the Wild, the United, you know, like all, even the Timberwolves in that aspect. But, you know, like some of these markets, like the Alabamas, the Clemsons, they don't really have to compete against that, but even they have trouble filling seats.
Yeah, I mean, you've got Nick Saban chastising his students for leaving early in games because the team isn't entertaining enough. And if you can't find something entertaining about Alabama football to watch, maybe, you know, there's an issue with college football. And a lot of these programs are trying to find ways to keep their students engaged throughout games, create fan engagement, create experiences for people. And that's really the challenge going forward, because you're not always going to have a winning football team. But, you know, there's something about college football that does keep people coming back to the stadium. And it's, you know, a chance to connect with your institution or the team you follow. And, you know, they're searching for other ways to do that and make it easier.
You even talked with us in the pre-production meeting about, you know, different Big Ten schools. And I know that one school you mentioned in particular that I think might surprise some fans. And I know it surprised me a little bit in terms of what Scott Frost and Nebraska have going on. Obviously, there was a lot of excitement when Scott Frost came back. But even last year, I know that you were able to get your hands on some of the scan data. Nebraska is not immune to this, like many people, including myself, kind of thought.
Yeah, I mean, you look at Nebraska on the surface, and they're a top 10 institution in terms of tickets sold and attendance. And that's what everybody, you know, reports in the box scores, you know, how many tickets are sold or distributed. And what happened is Omaha World Herald dug into this and got the scan ticket data. You know, you look at some of their big games against Colorado, 10,000 people had tickets and didn't show up. You look at their game against Purdue, almost 20,000 people had tickets and didn't show up. Even the Gopher game, you know, when they start 0-6, they've sold 90,000 tickets, but only 75,000 show up. So even a school like Nebraska, where, you know, that's the big show in town, you know, people love the black shirts. Well, you got 20,000 people who sometimes don't feel like going, even though they've spent money on the ticket.
Yeah, that, you know, that is fascinating that, you know, the people that spend money on the ticket, you know, don't actually show up to games. You know, I guess I don't even know what to think of that. Like, the fact that they spend the money and they don't show up is just a really interesting concept. I guess they're probably spending money on season tickets. Why probably season tickets are still really valuable then?
Yeah, and that's kind of what you see sometimes with Minnesota is their tickets. The season ticket holders, the base is following. I've done a lot of research on Gopher hockey and what's happened to their season ticket base. Have they fallen from, you know, selling 8,700 now down below 6,000? And once that starts to happen, you have these athletic departments that aren't used to moving single game tickets, and they're forced to. And it's something that takes a lot more work than people think.
Sure. Yeah. And it becomes, I'm assuming, a huge marketing effort, you know, just to sell single game tickets. We've seen this over the past few years. You know, they've done these small bundle packages where you get like a non-conference game and a conference game or a couple conference games. That seems to be the trend, at least, or it, historically the trend at the University of Minnesota. But they've also moved into, like, they did this flash sale this year for a non-conference game, which seemed wildly successful. I think they sold something like 7,000 tickets. I'm going to back up on order of magnitude in just 24 hours, which, you know, really pretty impressive when you consider how many tickets they were able to sell in such a short amount of time.
Well, I think they learned a little bit from the Twins, who did a flash sale of their own this summer and were very successful selling tickets to games that they hadn't before. And that's something you'll see Minnesota get very creative with non-conference games as they try to get people the experience of going, get them used to attending games at TCF Bank Stadium on a beautiful day. And you'll see those low-cost tickets. The issue becomes you don't want to devalue your Big Ten games. You don't want to put out those deals for Wisconsin or Nebraska because you're expecting a big crowd anyway for those. And once you start doing flash sales for that kind of event, you're devaluing it, and you're going to have people waiting to buy tickets until the last minute. And Minnesota, as I've learned, has a fan base that's very last minute. Most of their single game sales are done 48 hours to 72 hours before the game. So it can be very dependent on what's the forecast going to be. What's the team looking like right now? Whereas at some of these schools, you know, they're buying tickets way in advance and making it a big event. So that's a big challenge for Minnesota.
Go ahead, Ryan.
Oh, do you think, I mean, that it's interesting that they wait so close into the game. So think about it. If you have a Saturday game, they're buying tickets on Wednesday and Thursday, which, Luke, I guess it's a good thing we put the weather report in our podcast, because maybe that's indirectly influencing people to buy single game tickets. But I also think, the just before we kind of get off the whole, you know, college football attendance issue, I mean, when you look at the Big Ten level and you look at some of the biggest teams and some of the best teams in the Big Ten, you have the Ohio States, the Penn States, the Michigan States, the Iowas, Wisconsins. I think the theme, and something that you brought up in the pre-production meeting, Eric, is that you look at those six schools specifically. They also don't have any other attractions in town, where Minneapolis has four other pro sports teams, and there's just a lot else going on. I'd be curious for what you think about, you know, some of the ticket sale issues, considering Minnesota's not the only, you know, the only show in town, whereas in Madison or in Iowa City they are. And do you think that, you know, I think I'd have some thoughts that probably the athletic department feels the same, but what do you think about that notion that it's maybe a struggle here because Minnesota really is maybe the fifth or sixth in line in town?
Well, there's always going to be that pecking order issue for Minnesota. You know, back when Minnesota was in its glory days, competing for national championships, regularly winning the Big Ten, they were the show in town. You know, it was the big event. I'm sure if you had talk radio and the internet message boards back then, it would be wall-to-wall Gopher coverage. And then over the years, we've had the Twins move to town, the Vikings, the Timberwolves, now the Wild's back, and now Minnesota United. And guess what? All those teams are kind of pushing for playoff spots right now. You know, there's just so much attention on whatever happens with the Vikings. You know, does the center have a lot of butt sweat? That's a story that draws a lot of eyes.
Or who the hell's the holder? Because we need to spend so much time on that.
I mean, there's just so much micro-focus on all that stuff that come with pro sports. So there's a lot of options here. So Minnesota's got to be different. You know, they got to change their best every day and figure out what's the most elite experience for people. I think TCF Bank Stadium was built almost a little ahead of its time with the Loge boxes and the West Plaza. You know, those are things that you see pretty much every stadium that's being renovated right now incorporating. You know, Iowa's new renovation, they tried to create a lot of like plaza type environments. Those Loge boxes outsides with bigger, more comfortable seats, that's what you're seeing. And I think Minnesota, they might be doing even more renovations. You've seen some stadiums, they'll take out a bunch of seats and put in, you know, a luxury seating experience. I've heard something at Mariucci. They're going to be shrinking the rink here pretty soon, so they're going to be tearing up all the concrete anyway. So maybe they want to do something different with seating and kind of create a different experience for people. Because the premium seats are not the ones they're having trouble selling. It's the common seat. Mm-hmm. So people are looking for something more out of their experience at games.
You know, it's interesting you say that, because you see that in pro sports as well. This isn't, at least from my perspective, this isn't unique to college sports, where you're seeing lots of, you know, obviously the box seats, but even like these premium seating experiences. Like you look at US Bank Stadium, you see those couch things. I don't even really know what to call those, but they're kind of, they're TVs in there and all that. This is happening all over sports, I guess, live sports in general.
Yeah. I mean, the pro sports have a lot more money to throw at this stuff. You know, they're able to privately finance all their things, get deals from local government on renovations, and they're able to put in these high-end experiences. You look at every new building, they've got these suites built in at field level. You can't see the game from there, but you're in the building. You see the players, you hear the noise. There's lots of drinks there. People love that. So others, you know, universities are looking at how to do it. I know San Diego recently is renovating their football situation, and they've got a spot where food trucks can drive into the stadium area and park and sell food during the game. I know there's other schools, they're finding ways to build in student lounges and allow people to use their student meal plan to buy things at the game. So a lot of creative ideas out there right now.
Well, that's really fascinating. I guess maybe before we get into some of the technology that the university has kind of pushed into the non-conference season, I guess I'd be curious to get your perspective. So like I recognize that, you know, the Timberwolves have been terrible for a long time. They did make a run recently to the playoffs, but you know, you made a comment that's interesting to me, that you know, winning isn't necessarily everything. And is that consistent between like pro sports and college sports, or is that really just a college thing in terms of getting butts in seats?
I think everybody knows that there can only be one champion at the end of the year, and there's going to be other teams that fail to get there. So you need to create some sort of loyalty and brand that people embody and want to stick with. And so I think it's a challenge for everybody. I think we're just seeing it more in college because there's students who turn over all the time. And especially in a town like Minneapolis, we've got so many graduates from other institutions living in our city. You know, we've got 6 million people in Minnesota. Not all of them went to Minnesota and have that connection. So that base of people you're drawing from is even smaller.
That's an interesting perspective. I hadn't even considered that. You are right, because of the Fortune 500 companies, a number of people come in from outside. So you do have a significant number of transplants. So that is an interesting perspective. I guess the one of the tech things I wanted to get to that they recently incorporated, I know they partnered with, and again, you wouldn't pronounce the name for me, so I'll take a stab at it. The university partnered with, when I look at their website, the PAC is in a different color than the rest. So I'm going to go.
I just think it's so funny how you get so tripped up over these words. Just take a
but
look
like,
at
this
it.
This is a
made up
word. This isn't even a word. This is Paciolan? It's got to be Paciolan.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good, Luke.
It is Paciolan?
Yeah.
Good. Okay, gosh.
Don't overthink it, me boy.
You're making me overthink it. Okay, so they partnered with Paciolan. This is a ticketing vendor marketing thing. So this is basically the provider that's going to give them digital tickets, right? So now the university, I think I don't have student, or I don't have football tickets, but I would imagine with my basketball tickets, these will be all digital if I want them now.
Well, we're going to get there at some point.
Oh.
The Gophers do know that their fan base is a little bit different than some other fan bases. So people like to have the paper tickets, but they'll eventually get there to where a digital ticket will be an option. I know that the Timberwolves went all digital. Vikings went all digital. You know, I think we've seen some of the Wild tickets go all digital. So that's the move in the long game. But for now, what this ticketing system does, it gives them so much more information. They know who is actually using the ticket. Because before, if there's just a paper ticket and it's in someone's drawer, you know, and they hand it to someone, mm-hmm. they still think it's the person who owned the ticket that had it in their drawer that came to the game. But now that person can email their ticket to somebody else. They register an account. Then they know who's actually going to the game. They've tried to partner with StubHub to make it easier to resell their tickets. I know that's something that a lot of the pro sports have gotten really into, is controlling the resale market. Because, again, it allows them to see who's actually coming to their games. If you just print out your PDF and hand it to somebody, you know, that's not quite good enough. But if you can email it to someone and they have that information, then they have another group to market to and sell tickets to.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess the fact of the matter is we don't have digital tickets yet. I was hoping that would be the case because, quite frankly, I absolutely hate them not being digital. But
well, I don't think we're exactly the intent. I mean, we are exactly the intended audience for the digital tickets because, I mean, we're all tech savvy enough to know how to work our phones. But I think what Eric may be alluding to about what's unique about this fan base is it's not exactly young. Is it, Eric?
No, I mean, you look between the 20s and the people who are, you know, fitting the bill for the scholarship seating, and it's not a lot of young people. So they need to cater to those fans as well. And then that's the hardest thing about running a game day experience, is you got to cater to a bunch of college kids. You got to cater to a bunch of young, you know, grade school kids and, you know, some high rollers in their 40s. And then these old retired people who have been supporting the team forever. You know, you're trying to create an experience that fits everyone's needs. And that's really hard to do. And this ticketing is just one example. I know now if you buy a single game ticket, you can download it to your Apple wallet and get it scanned at the game. You know, you couldn't do that 10 years ago. And so Minnesota's slowly trying to make changes here. And I think one of the things was, under Norwood Teague, all this stuff was outsourced. And so the university didn't have any experience running this kind of stuff. When Mark Coyle came, you know, he's really involved in ticketing marketing. He did that at Florida State. He did it at Minnesota with hockey. You know, he is very experienced in this area and has a lot of thoughts on how things should happen. And he's got Ben Frazier and Mike Wiersbicki working with the fan advisory board to try to figure out what fans want.
So why did Norwood Teague outsource that stuff? Just because they didn't have the domain knowledge and didn't want to deal with it? Or what was the advantage of doing that? Or what, I mean, yeah, why would they do that?
Just cheaper on okay. on the forefront, and just not something he thought was worth investing in. Because, you know, 20 years ago, a lot of ticket marketing was send out the invoice and people paid it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And, you know, that's changing. So you've got to have a little bit more art than science and blend the two here and figure out what's the secret sauce for each school. Because Minnesota is certainly unique compared to everybody else.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So one of the big things that they pushed this year was the Gopher Pass, right? So this was the idea that you could get a ticket. Like, you didn't have a reserved seat, but you had season tickets, and you'd get either a standing room ticket, depending on how many tickets they sold, or a different seat throughout the stadium, you know, kind of at a certain point in the week, right? I'm curious how well that was received, and if it's something we can imagine to see roll out to other sports as well, or is this going to be just unique to football?
I think the goal of this program basically was to get people in at a different price point. Because it's such a hard sell sometimes for season tickets for people to invest in seats between the 50s or between the 20s.
Mm-hmm.
So this allowed them to create a lower price point for tickets and try to get new people interested in coming to games. And it was pretty successful. They sold quite a large number of these passes. And I think, you know, they'll get data on how many people use every game, or people are just using them for the big games coming up later in the schedule. Or what, but it's just another creative way to try to get people in the building. I know, you know, baseball teams and basketball teams have experimented with this in the pros, and they've envisioned it kind of like a Netflix for ticketing. I know Ohio State does this for their non-football programs. You know, you pay a monthly fee and you get to use a certain number of tickets. So it's just trying to see what can work here at Minnesota.
So you said it was fairly successful, and I guess in the grand scheme of things, the data is gold, right? Because they get the data and they get a much better idea how to market to some of these people. In some ways, that's almost more important than the revenue that they're generating.
Yes, the data is gold. As you look at what Mark is trying to do with this athletic department, he's trying to get as much actionable data as he can to make decisions. You know, you go to a Gopher football game, you get a survey, you know, 15 minutes after the game, asking what your experience was like. And they're looking for things that they can try to fix and figure out what's going to have the biggest impact. You're trying to look at who are your most loyal fans. And people have said that, you know, the past ticketing systems could generate that data, but not with enough specificity that they need to actually make actionable plans on.
Yeah, sure. And then, you know, I'm curious. I get the survey responses quite frequently. Do you have any idea, like, how much meaningful impact this actually has on decisions that they're making?
I mean, to like a larger degree, like, should folks actually be filling out these surveys afterwards?
I once had a conversation with Mark Coyle where he recounted about 5 or 6. Responses almost verbatim that he remembers based on reading this feedback. So if you want to get feedback into Mark Coyle's hands, fill out the survey every time they get read.
All right. That's actually pretty interesting. Okay. So we have another sponsor that we probably should get a word in. You know, this guy is near and dear to your heart, Ryan. So you probably should get this done.
Yeah, I should probably be the one to do this one. And so, folks that have been listening the last few weeks, you know that my newest, or our newest advertiser, is it's one of my longer known people in my life and my favorite insurance agent and a huge Gopher football fan. And that is Bill Burns of the Burns Insurance Agency in Oakdale, Minnesota. He insures homes, boats, businesses of all sizes. So if you're looking for another option, if you just looked over your insurance bill from State Farm or wherever it may be, and you're thinking to yourself, man, these rates keep going up, and you want an independent insurance agent to take a look at it for free for you, I encourage you to check out the Burns Insurance Agency in downtown Oakdale, Minnesota. You can look at more options and get in contact with them at insurancebyburns.com. That is insurancebyburns.com.
All right, Eric, I've been waiting to ask you about this specific campaign that they did for a while. I actually thought about messaging you offline when it came out. The Red Baron pizza deal. So I thought that was almost too good to be true. And I'm assuming that this is just a data play again. But out of curiosity, like, is this more a marketing thing for Red Baron? Do they get a kickback? Do you know how this deal really even works? Because all you had to do was buy three Red Baron pizzas, which I obviously did. And then you got two tickets to either a non-conference game of your choice for football or the ACC Big Ten Challenge game against Clemson for men's basketball. And, you know, so basically $9 for two tickets to either of those events. You know, what was really behind this specific campaign that they ran?
Well, one, you do have a partner that you've worked with and they advertise with Minnesota. So that's one thing. Two, it's going to get people in the building. And maybe people who just, you know, want to buy pizza. I bought pizza so I could get my kids into a game. You know, maybe other people have that same idea as they take advantage of this offer. They bring someone with who hasn't been to a Gopher football or Gopher basketball game before, and it gets new people in the building. And I think, you know, when you look at the non-conference games, they're just trying to expose the program as much as they can.
Sure.
So that's why you see programs like this and why it applies to only certain games.
And this, I have to imagine, deals like this happen at other universities as well, right? They're running promotions like this just to get people in the door.
Yeah, you see it in some places. I remember the Florida Panthers once did a deal. You bought a bottle of vodka, you got a free ticket to an NHL hockey game. So this is something that the teams do to partner with their sponsors, to get people involved and make them feel engaged. I do think there's one interesting thing that's going on in college football. Is that people are giving back feedback in surveys, and one of their bits of feedback is, I don't want to see commercials during the game.
Interesting.
I don't want to see a president of the bank presenting a football at the start of the game. I don't want to see the Case IH Red Zone promotion going on. You know, maybe people get a kick out of the halftime pass, punt, kick stuff, but for the most part, these sponsored ads are not what people are looking for. You know, people want to connect with alums, they want to connect with the program, and they want to be entertained. So I think that's something new coming to college athletics that people have been ingrained to be used to, is being advertised to during the game. But I think you're going to start seeing that decline. It's just a moment where people disengage from the game. And I think it's really important for institutions to look at, you know, engaging with their fans rather than trying to sell them at the game.
Yeah, so you're talking about this, you know, kind of this whole experience that they're trying to sell, right? One of the efforts that the athletic department put forward was this Gopher Hour, and I'm sure this will actually continue out throughout the entire season. So I'm just curious, like, I haven't noticed, because I'm busy at the Goal Line Club tailgate, right?
Yes, so you are.
For those people. For those people that want to join the Goal Line Club tailgate, they should join Lovey 5. And they can get $5 off. They can join Ryan and I. But, you know, I get a kick out of the fact that they're trying to get, is it one, trying to just get people into the stadium earlier? Or is this more about the experience in general?
Well, it is twofold. One of the issues with TCF Bank Stadium is where it's located. It can be kind of complicated to get there and complicated to get out after the game. So a lot of the things that Minnesota is trying to do is try to get people to arrive early so you don't have that rush at the gates to get to your seat for kickoff. So anything they can do to alleviate that is a big win for them. So I think it's impressive that they would have this concession deal before games. They're trying to find ways to get people to stay, you know, a little bit after the game too, and they're still coming up with that stuff. But specifically with Minnesota, they have a traffic issue, and so they're trying to find ways to address that. I know they've looked at an RFP for some parking solutions and transportation issues to try to address traffic around the games, but that's just a big issue for them to address, because that's a big part of the fan experience that they hear back in the surveys as well, is, you know, parking and getting to the venue getting out of the venue and getting home.
Do they hear a lot of feedback like the concourses are too small in terms of just like getting in and out? Because I know like feedback I've heard from people is they're frustrated, and it's bad at US Bank Stadium as well. Like they did not do that correct in that stadium, in my opinion. But like I have heard people say like the concourses are too small. It takes forever to get out of the stadium.
I don't think it's bad at TCF at some of the other venues. I think Mariachi is pretty congested. I think Williams is pretty congested. US Bank is like Hunger Games. You know, you get going down a corridor and you just like you're in a dead end and you expect to get flamed or something. But right. I think TCF is actually pretty good. They've got that Big West Plaza. You know, if they ever expanded the building, they'd have to address the concourse issue. But I feel like it's better than other venues.
Okay. No, that's interesting. I've heard, especially from people when the Vikings were there playing games, they were really frustrated how long it took to get out of the stadium. But yeah, that's interesting. And I agree with you. US Bank Stadium's absolutely brutal. It's unbelievably horrible. Okay. So another thing in terms of engagement, we constantly, if you watch Gopher Illustrated at all, the message boards, they're always talking about student engagement, right? How many students are showing up? How long are they sticking around? Are they there in the fourth quarter, et cetera, et cetera. And the university took a stab at trying to improve this by putting out an app that was basically going to ask students to check in and potentially earn money by staying, by checking in, by, you know, knowing where they are, et cetera, throughout the whole game day experience. I'm curious if this has been successful, if people are like jumping into this, or is it just kind of, you know, smoke and mirrors and it's really not doing much to improve student interaction with the game, or I guess staying and retaining them throughout the game.
Well, this kind of tech is the Wild West right now. You know, you're just acquiring so much data, you're not even sure what you're going to do with it. You know, last year they did all digital student ticketing, so students could just use their phones to be their ticket, and that you had so many students who would forget their ID or whatever and wouldn't be able to get in. Well, making it digital made that process easier. Now, you know, they're just trying to gather data and see what they can do with it. This is pretty new tech for Minnesota, and I think it's still to be seen what they'll get out of it. You've seen other schools, they're creating student lounges and things and places they can use their meal money. You know, they're just trying to figure out how to keep the students engaged and keep them in the building, because they do create the atmosphere. If you talk to fans who go to a great game, usually it's because the students were so engaged, and Minnesota's got to figure out a way to do that.
I guess from my perspective, this is a problem nationally. You mentioned Alabama with Nick Saban, you know, chastising their student or their student section as well. But this is a national problem, correct?
This is a national problem. All sports, all institutions, how can they keep their fans engaged? It's a mystery. And one of the things with Minnesota is it's kind of a commuter campus, too.
Right.
So you have all these students, they don't live locally. They go home for breaks and things. You see big swings in that. We have a lot of international students at the U. So, again, when you look at the total enrollment of the campus, not all those people are going to be fans of football. And I think also you've seen, you know, kind of changing demographics these days with football engagement, you know, with all the concussion stuff going on in the media. You know, some kids don't grow up playing football in as many numbers as they used to. That impacts that student fan base as well.
Sure, absolutely. In terms of technology, do you have any idea things that the university is not doing right now that we can maybe expect as fans in the next year or two? Or like, what are some trends kind of nationally that we haven't been exposed to thus far at the University of Minnesota?
I think you are going to see some of that kind of Netflix ticketing for sporting events, where someone can buy some sort of package that they can use up over the year as they choose. You know, maybe they just want to go to a football game here in September, October, and then maybe they want to go to one or two hockey games in December, and then they want to go to basketball games in February. They might be able to get a package that allows them to do all of that kind of stuff. I think that could be something that is coming next. And just the resale market, you might even see it be more centralized by Minnesota.
Yeah, that it is interesting, just, you know, the struggle that people have to get people just to attend, or to get institutions to attend these games. You know, fan engagement is down, etc. And, you know, with technology, they're just trying to get any data that they can to hopefully market at these people better. But at the end of the day, how do you keep like a season ticket holder base like the University of Minnesota happy, right? Like, I gotta imagine some of these flash deals, the Red Baron deals, even like the Gopher Pass has to rub some of this season ticket holders the wrong way. How do they balance that?
I think the way they balance it is they don't do these big sales for the big games. You know, they're not going to do it for Wisconsin. They're not going to do it for Michigan. You know, they're not going to do it for Ohio State. They're going to keep those games a premium experience. And I think that's the battle they're going to have to fight, is how do they keep their season ticket holders engaged and give them value for their season ticket. You know, we've seen the loyalty program rolled out over the last couple of years here, and they're just trying to figure out what's the best way to get those benefits to our season ticket holders.
Yeah. Do you have any sense of how successful that loyalty program's been? Like, do people like it in general? Or, like, I mean, I'm not.
I can tell you from the message board on Gopher Illustrated, it is very, either people are very much enjoy it or people can't stand it. And I don't think there's much middle ground.
Yeah, it's very difficult, because if you're kind of a low-end donor giver, you're going to get Goldie's Kids Clubs and maybe some tunnel passes to the non-conference game. But if you're someone who has extra money in your bank account and you want to create a relationship with the University of Minnesota, you'll get experiences like tailgating with Mark Coyle, or, you know, getting upgraded into the president's suite. You know, there's opportunities for you to do that if you're a donor. And I think, you know, the scholarship seating, when it was required, that rubs people the wrong way for the most part. You know, it's generating revenue that Noah Teague thought was there. I think we've seen a huge backlash on that. You're never going to hear Mark Coyle directly say that, but it really damaged the program.
Yeah.
Instituting those huge fees on tickets, and they turned away people, and Minnesotans are spiteful. And when they get treated unfairly, they're going to hold a grudge. And so they've got to try to win back those fans. And so by creating optional giving and creating these tangible experiences that people can see when they do donate is kind of a benefit for them. And I think you're going to see more of that in the future.
Yeah. You frequently hear Mark Coyle say that, like, their goal is to, is basically to win back the loyalty of fans. Right. And obviously they're making efforts to do that. But, you know, I guess from your perspective, and, you know, being around campus a lot, you know, working with the Athletic and Gopher Puck Live, do you really think that, like you said, that, you know, fans are spiteful? Do you really think it all stems from that? A lot of it stems from the Norwood Teague, scholarship ticketing option?
I think it does really hurt the program that got through and got implemented, because you have seen significant declines in season ticket holders after those went into effect. And, you know, you can't say that the winning and losing changed that much.
Did Norwood Teague just have like bad data, or did he just see like, this is what's happening around the country, we have to do this to keep up with people?
I think he saw that he needed to raise revenue in the athletic department to do some of the things he thought were necessary. And he saw the fan base and the community as pretty wealthy, but I don't think he realized how many other options fans in Minneapolis have. You know, people can go to other sports if they want to. They can go to the theater. They can spend their money wherever they want. But when they feel like they're being taken advantage of, like they did when Norwood put those fees into effect, they started spending their money someplace else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. That's really interesting. I guess maybe in your opinion, I don't think many people have good things to say about the Norwood Teague era. This in case in point being one. But I have to imagine that, you know, with Coyle, you know, inserted, it's trending in the right direction. Do you see that from the outside as well?
I think it's trending slightly in the right direction. I think if he can get football, men's basketball, men's hockey winning again, they're going to see more fans come. But again, winning's not the answer. That's not always the sustainable solution. And then once those fans do come back, they have to feel valued and rewarded and be a part of the team. And so that's really the real struggle for Mark Coyle. I think he's also got a little bit of a battle with the Regents to kind of keep things humming at the university.
Sure.
I think as they look at contract extensions for their coaches and look at who to put in those positions, I think Mark's pretty good at what he does. He was very quick to hire PJ Fleck. He was very quick to hire Bob Moskow. Heck, he was even quick to hire a softball coach. He is very on top of his job, and he just needs to be given some freedom to make decisions as he sees fit. Because even look at Syracuse, you know, he picked the right guy there too.
Yeah. Okay. So, new president in place now, Joan Gables. I don't know a ton about her. I did a little bit of research when she was first hired. She seems to be pro revenue sports, right? Do you assume that as well, or is it really too early to tell?
Every time she's been asked about sports and funding and how she sees it as its role at the university, she gives a answer that's very detailed and well thought out. It's the front door of the institution, and it's a great way to engage with your students, engage with your alumni. She sees the value. I just spoke with someone this last week about Minnesota Duluth winning national championships in hockey. They're applications have gone way up the last couple of years. These are valuable things. People value having successful sports programs, and she knows that.
Yeah, that's
so I just think,
go ahead.
I mean, just back to Eric's point about, so it seems like, and from what Eric's heard, and I can concur from what I've heard, it's along the same wavelengths that Joan Gable is going to do what she can to help Gopher Athletics, which is exactly what you want to hear. Hopefully she gives Mark the opportunity to let him do his job. But I think, Eric, we both know, even if the president and the athletic director are on the same page, and again, I know that neither of us can really name names without burning some very, very valuable bridges, but the Board of Regents has been, I'll say, a stickler, I think would be a fair way to kind of put it, in terms of allowing Mark to do what he wants to do. Have you heard things along that same line, and what do you think about it?
Well, if you want to get involved in how the Regents operate, all their meetings are on YouTube. You can go through and watch them debate tuition, administrative spending, budgets for the athletic department, and you can see who asks questions and a stern way, and you're going to learn which regents think they should have more oversight than maybe is good for them.
I think that would be a very valuable thing for people to do if they want to see who we're talking about without naming names.
I mean, it's pretty easy to see for yourself who thinks they could be an athletic director.
And so it's, again, there's going to be some very valuable things, I think, in the major men's sports teams, obviously with Bob Moskow, now with Gopher Hockey, he's got a very long leash, but you know, we'll see how things turn out with this Gopher football program. They're 3-0 right now. If Minnesota continues to perform it the way that they're capable of doing, you know, they get to 8-9 wins this year. I think an extension could be in line very shortly after the season for PJ Fleck. And then you also have things on the other side with Richard Pitino in basketball, of which the buyout got smaller. And people didn't seem to notice that in the new extension. So it's going to be very interesting to see when Coyle wants to, you know, get another extension on the table or whatever he wants to do. If Gable gives him the blessing, is he going to be able to get it past that Board of Regents? Because that was the huge issue with the Tracy Clays deal in previous years. I'm sure folks can reminisce about that at Gopher Illustrated, but It's not always the easiest thing to do is to get through those glorious Board of Regents, is it, Eric?
When you're hiring high-profile positions like the president of the university or head football coach or head basketball coach, you need to move quickly, you need to move stealthily, and you need to come with money. And all those things can hamper a search if someone wants to hold things up with public meetings and public oversight.
Probably couldn't be.
I don't know that I have.
Couldn't be said any better. It's just like you follow way closer than anybody anyway, Eric. Like I mean, if you guys don't follow Eric on Twitter, if you want athletic department updates on a regular basis, he's absolutely a great follow. I don't actually know your handle.
Or if you want,
what is your handle?
It's EVGO.
EVGO.
EVGO. Pretty simple.
And then the Gopher Puck Live, which is his Gopher hockey podcast and amongst other things that they do over there. And if you are a Gopher hockey fan and you don't listen to the wisdom that they try to give down to us in the masses, you will become
pathetic.
I'm not a huge hockey guy.
Me neither.
Luke and I decided in the winter sport and in the winter months that we were going to be basketball guys. So our hockey knowledge isn't elite. But if you are a Gopher hockey fan and you are into the podcast and you are into following what actually is happening in the Gopher hockey community, I think Gopher Puck Live would be a great place for you to get involved with here ASAP.
Okay, just to round out, any like kind of parting thoughts, Eric, things that we should have touched on that we didn't, or you know, things we should look out for in the next coming months or years with the athletic department?
I think you just want to look at how they try to build continuity and think about their impact on other fans that they hang out with. I heard an interesting bit from Quincy Lewis that he will not publicly watch a Wisconsin-Minnesota basketball game because he gets so excited in good and bad ways. So other fans see that. So when fans are on message boards, when fans are on Twitter, that does have an impact and a noise that affects the program. And it's something that Minnesota is always battling.
Ah, interesting. I did not know that about Quincy Lewis. That's interesting.
Well, you know, you can say the wrong thing in front of the wrong person. And it gets right out there on Twitter. So
yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, social media, sports are excitable.
Social media is the absolute worst.
Yeah, it is the worst.
Now, for those lovely people who found this podcast on the Twitter machine, not you. I'm not talking about you, but just that social media at times can just be a cesspool.
Yeah, for sure. All right.
I do think that Pitino has a good phrase about that. When you get into an argument with someone on Twitter, it's a little bit like wrestling with a pig in the mud. And the only problem is the pig likes it and you get mud all over you.
I think that's a fair way for people in his position to put that.
Yeah. All right. I think that'll probably do it for us. Again, thanks to the Burns Insurance Company and to the Goal Line Club. Eric, we really appreciate you joining us this week. Hopefully we can have you on again sometime soon. If you want to check out Eric's work, do that at The Athletic and Gopher Puck Live. So for myself, for Ryan, for Eric, we thank you for listening and go Gophers.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.